This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Amen. Before I get any more questions, Adam, what happened to your face right there? Was it Cindy? No, nobody asked me that. It was, but no, I'm just kidding. Believe it or not, I went to get a shave at the barber, and the barber did that. I don't know what he was doing way up there, but the barber cut my face. So in anticipation of my work Christmas party tonight, I now have a big gash on my face. So that's what we get for trying to look nice or something. But anyway, that's what happened, and it's a true story. The barber nicked me pretty good. Oh, man. As we look at peace today, we talked about hope last week and peace this week. There's two things to consider. What is God? What is God? And what does He offer? I'm sorry, that's one. It's kind of two, but that's one. What is God, or who is God, and what does He offer us as far as peace? And then the second thing that we don't think of too often, we say, oh, God gives you peace. Here you go. But we want to look today, how do we obtain it? How do we get peace? How many could use extra peace in their life right now? Go ahead and raise your hands. There's a bunch of us. Dang near every one of us. Okay. Blessings to you that have found it. We all could use some of that. But we need peace. And we need some things just to slow down or calm down or whatever it is. But we need more peace in our life. These days and times just have us worked up about so many different things. Everybody has an agenda. But Isaiah 9:6, Josh and Nikki read it last week, and it talks about the birth of Jesus, and it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And it says, his name shall be called, and it goes through different names. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and ends with Prince of Peace. Now, I love this birth announcement. It says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And there's this upcoming birth of a Savior. Unto us a child is born. And as I said Wednesday night in the Bible study, this was a little longer than 9 months until the birth came. So many of them did not get to see that birth. But they're announcing it, and people are excited about it. They said, we're going to have a Messiah. Ooh, and by the way, here's his names. But the last one they mention is Prince of Peace. We have Prince of Peace. Now, verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be what? There will be no end. I could use that. Amen, indeed. It goes on and on and on. His love is never ending. His peace is never ending. So why don't we have that? Why don't we feel His love at times? Why don't we feel His peace at times? Why do we seem to be so upset? Lord, I'm just not happy. So I looked up the definition of peace, of course, and it says freedom from disturbance. How many have disturbances in your life? Don't name them. But how many have disturbances in their life? We start naming off people's names. You have family members by that name. Yes. No, whatever. You have co-workers that name. Yes. You have children by that same name. Yes. No. But it is free, a freedom from disturbance, a state of tranquility. A state or period of time in which there is no war. Or a war has ended. Maybe we have battles in our life and we feel it's never ending. We'll talk about it in a minute. But Eric mentioned last week in the Beatitudes, blessed is the peacemaker. Well, I don't know about all that, but I know when I'm right. Big difference. Being right or being the peacemaker, what's more important? Blessed is those that are right. No, blessed is a peacemaker. The Bible references peace over 65 times. That means I counted 66, depending on which version you're looking at. But over 65 times the word peace, or a variation, peaceable, peaceful, is mentioned. Scripture says peace is a blessing from God, and it's a part of His character. I'm going to reference different scriptures. You don't necessarily have to turn there. You can if you want, but I'll be reading several short things out of some scriptures today. The first one is Philippians 4:7. And Philippians 4:7, when I read it, will be a common one to most of us. And this verse is kind of like the car called the Saab. S-A-A-B. And anyone know about the Saab? You either love it or you hate it. Well, I feel this verse is the same thing. I hate to say that, but this verse either gives people comfort in times of trials or difficulties, or it just seems to annoy the fire out of people if they get it in a card or get someone texting or emailing or just telling them. But it's true and it's good. And it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. Now, somewhat like other scriptures, sometimes we just don't want to hear it. We don't want to accept it. We don't want to follow it. But it's true. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. What does that mean? That means that we can't conceive it sometimes when we're going through things. This is why it shows up in times of trials. I can't get it. God, where are you? Well, see, the peace of God is right there. And it's present. And it's there with you. And it surpasses all your understanding and my understanding. But that peace of God is going to guard your heart and protect it. And it's going to guard and protect your mind if you allow it to. And it's going to do that in Christ. And Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Oh, here we go again, but there's an extra. And lean not on your own understanding. God is telling us, quit trying to figure it out on your own. Quit trying to understand it all by yourself and say, I've got this all figured out. But lean on me and trust in me. Who and what is God? Well, He's a God of peace. And it says the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. How do I obtain that? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Or the understanding of your friends or family or co-workers or relatives. Quit leaning on their understanding as well. It's probably worse than your understanding of a situation. But trust in the Lord with all your heart. God promises us peace. God is peace. So therefore, in order for us to live in His peace, it's going to take some work. And listen carefully, it's going to take some decisions on our part. We can't just sit there and say, Lord, I'm a Christian. Please just impart your peace in my life that I keep messing up myself because I keep walking down this path. I know you told me to go that way, but I'm going this way. I don't have peace, but would you just continually shower me with your peace while I keep being disobedient? God doesn't operate that way. He doesn't want to operate that way. He can, but He doesn't want to. We have to make certain decisions as Christ followers. God, what will I do and not do? What will I choose to do or not do? What will I choose to say or not say? Psalm 34:14 continues on with the same decision-making process. Psalm 34:14 says, depart from evil, a decision, and do good. Another decision. I have to leave evil behind. I have to go and do good. But I love the next part. Seek peace. Again, another decision. And pursue it. So if I grow up in a life of evil, man, it's very difficult to leave it, let alone do good. I don't know what good looks like. We have to be that candle. And thank you so much, Kisha, by the way, for sharing that part about the candle. And in the right situation, how far it can be seen. Because There's those of us in here, I know that, that feel, oh, I don't think I'm significant. You absolutely are. You are the light of the world in certain places and times. And together, when we come together, that's even more light. If I had a choice to have one little bitty candle or complete darkness, I'm going with a little bitty candle. Then I'm going to protect that thing and go as far as I can with that light. But we have to know that. And so decisions, decisions, decisions. Every day, Christ's followers have decisions. This is waiting for me. Every day is a choice. Do I take it? Do I walk away from it? It's evil. Maybe it's not evil. It's just not great. Do I leave it or do I go to it? Depart from evil and do good and seek peace. It does not say seek to be right. Seek to be correct. It says seek peace and pursue it. Continue to go after it day after day after day. We have to pursue righteousness. Pursue peace. Go after it. Leave that place of evil. When was the last time you chose to be the peacemaker rather than the knowledgeable one that was absolutely right in a situation? The last time you chose to be a peacemaker. As I said earlier, Eric said last week in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, blessed is the peacemaker. Find common ground. Well, we can't find any common ground. Okay, choose not to argue. Choose to avoid those situations. Peter and Paul, as you look through the New Testament, look through the beginnings of their letters, and most of them begin with some version of peace. Peace be with you. Peace be multiplied. Peace, grace, and mercy be upon you. However it is, it was always an offering of peace with their letters. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm going to go ahead and turn to that. Sorry, Luke chapter 14, verse 27. Nope. John chapter 14. I was going to say that isn't the right place. I knew that when I looked at it. John 14, 27. Correction. All right. John chapter 14, verse 27. And I recall reading this last year as we talked about peace. But it's so powerful to me. And I remember this in a particular setting of a church where people were leaving. And said, peace I leave with you, my friend. In verse 27, that's what it says. Peace I leave with you. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. He says, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you, do I give you. It says, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, that we read about in Isaiah chapter 9. He's the Prince of Peace. And he says, I'm giving you peace. I'm leaving peace with you. Oh, not that peace that the world has for you. I give you peace until I'm upset with you. And then I give you what for? No, he says, I leave peace with you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. And he's offering the disciples his peace as he's going away to his Father. That's a hard thing to do. Peace is offered and given to us as well. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, peace is a fruit of the Spirit. We have to humble ourselves, and then we have to learn to flee from evil, as we said before. Let me go back to that. Psalm 34, 14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. His desire is for us to be in His presence. He desires for us to be in like mind with Him. To live and abide in His peace and to move and stay nearer to Him. James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Well, let's go with verse 6 through 8. And it says, but He gives more grace. Because that's where it starts. He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And He's telling us that God desires for us to be in His presence, but not just in His presence, because His presence is where? Everywhere. It is everywhere. So really, He desires for us to stay in close connection with God. God is always in close connection with us, but He wants us to be close to Him. Having conversation, looking at this through the day. He wants us to be near to Him. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Again, He's calling, don't just come to My presence, but I need you to come to My presence and start purifying yourselves. Start cleansing yourself. Again, not just the outside, but the inside. Scriptures reference in different places. Man looks at the outside appearance, but God looks at the inside. And He tells us, it isn't about cleaning the outside of you, but cleaning the inside. What's in your mind? What's in your heart? What's in your soul? What are your thoughts? He says, come into My presence. Humble yourselves. Flee evil. By the way, for some people, fleeing evil, if that's where they've been and that's where they've stayed, and they abide in evil every day, that is a hard thing for them to do. It's not just a simple thing to say, hey, flee evil and come over here to the good stuff. And again, flee evil and do good. They don't know what good looks like in a new world. They may in their old world of evil, but in the new world, doing good looks like a different thing. And then from James 4, flip back to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 17. And I love this verse when we look at where does this peace come from. And it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then it is peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Amen? I love that. That peace comes from up above. That peace comes from heaven. Comes from God Almighty. And it's pure, but it says it's peaceable. That's where we have to gain our wisdom from. When we go get wisdom of the world, I got street smarts. That's not always the right kind of smarts God wants us to have. He says, I want you to humble yourself before Me. I want you to flee from evil. I want you to find peace in Me. And He says, I desire for you to what? Live with Me. Abide in My love and abide in My peace. So when we talk about hope and peace, and wherever does this come from? It comes from the Prince of Peace who offers it to us. Has it for us to give. But He says, I need you to do some things in order to obtain it. If I was holding money up here and I said, this is available to whoever comes up here, and I'm not doing it and I don't have it, so no, don't think I'm going into this great object lesson. I'm just saying, if I had it, most of you would say, I've got a decision to make. I got to get up there and get it. And you'd come get it. So then it becomes a thing of, oh, how much value am I giving peace and joy and hope and love? How much value am I giving that? Not worth the effort. And if I said I have a dollar up here, most of you wouldn't break into a sprint to come up and get a dollar. I'm going to say our younger people might, okay? But most of us older folks would be like, no, that's okay, man. But if I had $100, it becomes added value. If I had $1,000, it becomes more valuable. And of course, as the price goes up, it becomes more valuable. And then I'd be real curious to see, blessed is the peacemaker, as people are running for that all at the same time. You know, we're knocking each other out, tripping people to get to that. So blessed is a peacemaker, so long as it isn't more valuable to me than I think it is to them. No, he wants us to humble ourselves. He wants us to be the peacemakers. He wants us to seek peace and pursue it. And again, church, this is all action steps. Not necessarily easy, but it is action steps that he's calling us to. Most of the scripture is full of promises, and then the action it takes to receive those promises. He's given it. We've got to go take it sometimes. Now, sometimes he may, if I was God and I was, you know, I could go out there and just start flinging money on y'all. And that happens sometimes. He's willing and able to spread his blessings on you. But for the most part, he says, I have it for you. I need you to get off your mat and come up and get it. I need you to take that first step to come up and get it. Today, as we seek to find peace, it's his peace, but our efforts. And he desires for us to do that. Sometimes simple steps, sometimes a little more difficult and harder. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, today we know that we need peace. We know that peace does not come easy, but it is necessary in this world, this day and age today. God, I pray today that we can humble ourselves. I pray today that, Lord, we can seek it. Wherever evil exists in our lives, we can walk away from it. Lord, that we seek peace and pursue it. And we don't just give up after one day or one hour, Lord, that we continually seek peace in our lives. God, in this period, as we sit in anticipation of celebration of the birth of the Savior, show us areas that we can make peace where we're currently at war with others. Lord, today we also rejoice in the birth of Roy Dill. As a church body, we surround them with prayers of love and joy and peace, healing, rest and comfort. Lord, help us to be light and salt to those we come in contact with, both those we know and don't know, through our actions and through our words. Allow us to bring light into dark places that we may not be aware of. Help us find those places and take your truth into those areas. In Jesus' name, amen.